You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the Westside Community News, and today is a fun day, a show I've been planning for like 3 weeks now, talking about the Pacers and the playoffs, but not maybe this year. When will the Pacers next be a playoff team? When will they next be playing postseason games? It's been a while. Their last playoff win was almost a half decade ago now. When are they going to be back playing in those games with their current core, with their current plan? We'll get to the bottom of it today, and joining me to do that, new to the Pacers beat at Nuvo Media, Jack Crist. Jack is here with a Q. Jack, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good. Happy to be here.
I'm psyched to have you. I always like having new guests, and I'm always excited when new people join the Pacers media space to be around, to ask new questions, breath of fresh air into the sphere. So like I said today, talking about when the Pacers will next make the playoffs, because you know it's interesting. Kevin O'Connor just said, I think it was on one of his live streams, that he heard the Pacers would like to make the play-in this year, or have goals and aspirations of heading down that path. And I immediately kind of winced because I thought, wow, you know, their moves don't really indicate that that's the path they're going down. They didn't sign any vets. I mean, they, I guess, got Daniel Theis, but they traded away vets. You know, they went for more draft capital. They clearly look like they're going younger for this year. And then maybe they want to just stumble into the plan. That's fine. But I don't view them as a team like that this year. But I am curious when I think they could next make it. I'm not sure this year is super possible, but maybe it is. So first and foremost, Jack, where do you feel like it would take for the answer to the question, when will the Pacers next make the playoffs, to be this year? What do you feel like it would take for it to be this season?
I think it's kind of easy. We need a wing. We need some form of a wing. Everyone's either like 6'5 or below, or like 6'10 or up. So anywhere in that range, like an O'Shea Brissett or a Kendall Brown kind of like popping off, or like, I don't know, some big trade where we land a huge wing would be, I think, huge, but out of the question at this point in time.
Yeah, roster-wise, that's clearly the imbalance thing in terms of what they physically like. Okay, if we could get X player, that would be the thing, right? If Duarte can grow an inch or somehow play bigger than his size, that would be the ideal fit as a 3-and-D guy to slot into that role. But yeah, this team is lacking in that department right now, especially. And I think that the reason it will stand out so much is because of how many players they have in the other situations. Like, they played a lot of Trabonis last year, but I think you're going to see a lot of double big this year, like Jalen Smith and Turner, or you know, Isaiah Jackson and Smith, or maybe Goga's mixed in there. I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of double big and a lot of potentially two-point guard, right? I think you'll see McConnell and Haliburton a lot, or Haliburton, I don't know, a lot of two-ball handler, I should say, not two-point guard. So that imbalance kind of lends itself to some struggles, like big wings will destroy them this year. In terms of the actual roster, there are a couple of guys that I would point to, but let's pretend they are a play-in team this year. Who do you feel like would be the key guys that have to grow the most or step up in a way that may be unexpected or unseen? Because to me, obviously, if they make the play-in or playoffs this year, Tyrese has an awesome year. He reaches a level that people think he can, but even that alone I don't think would take them from 26 wins to probably 40 is what it would take. You know, who else do you feel like would have to be in that mix for that ascent to happen this year?
I'd say Buddy Hield would be a huge. He just feels like a Carlisle guy when you watch him. And trading him away to the Lakers would be brutal for my beliefs that they might make the playoffs here. So I really am hoping we hold on to him because he just feels like someone we could really use if we want to take the season seriously.
Do you think he can play the requisite defense needed for them to ascend on the end of the floor with him on there?
I think that maybe Miles might help him out. Let him be okay with getting beat every now and again and send guys in. But I don't know. Maybe if he really puts the time in, he could really develop. But I don't know. If he goes flamethrower mode in a few playoff games, that would be awesome to see.
It's funny, like in a playoff setting, Buddy Hield would be like an interesting player, not necessarily because I think he'd swing a series, but because he's the type of player that just has like a random game that wins. Like Tim Hardaway, you know, Tim Hardaway wins the Mavs a game when he was playing for them in the playoffs a few years ago. Like Buddy Hield can do that.
Under Carlisle, by the way.
Yeah. So under Carlisle, exactly. So another guy, a big guy to me, that if the Pacers are to become a playoff team this year, which again, I do not think is the case. But if they are a team that maybe they make 10th seed play in and make some noise, one, I think a key guy to me is going to be Jalen Smith, because, you know, they haven't had a four at all, you know, in years that can traditionally play the role. He still isn't a traditional four, but if he truly is a guy who can be 37% from deep, put it on the floor a little bit, make some plays, they'd really have like 48 minutes of Smith plus Brissett at the four. That would be solid. And that would be an upgrade for this team. They also have a stretch four for the first time in forever. I mean, even when Sabonis and Thad were thriving at the four, they were not stretch fours. You know, he would give them something at that spot they've never had. If he can truly ascend and reach that top 10 pick potential that he was drafted with, obviously, I think that would go a long way for this team in terms of having the right guys in the right places. Because like you said, they don't have anyone who you'd obviously identify as a forward. If he can do forward things and stretch the floor and even kind of defend out away from the basket, I think that is one of the key pieces to me in them being better than expected this year, even though I don't expect them to do that this year.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I would love to see Jalen do great just because of how he bet on himself and the Pacers. Kind of been like such a good home for him. It really sent a good message to a lot of people who are thinking about coming here in the future.
He'd be the sales pitch, right?
Yeah.
they need that kind of thing. It never hurts to have that sort of sales pitch in general. The other one I would think about is TJ McConnell returning to the 2 years ago TJ McConnell and not the last year TJ McConnell. Not that TJ McConnell was bad last year, but he was definitely not as good as, you know, the Nate Bjorker and TJ McConnell was probing all the time, setting guys up like a key part of the offensive operation. And last year, if you remember, that one of their best stretches of the season, I think they recovered to 14-16 after these games. McConnell had three games, one in Sacramento, one in Utah, Denver, and then a good home game where he was like one of their best players, right? He was killing it. He had a game winner in that stretch against the Kings. Like, he was playing very well. Lo and behold, the Pacers were also playing well. Like, good ball handler play is very important. And I don't think he was bad last year, but I do think as he tried to play shooter a little more and play with other ball handlers, he wasn't as good. This year, and a little more obvious, you are the backup point guard only. You don't have the ball as much when Tyrese is in the game. Like, if he can return to form a little bit and kind of get their second unit going, he's the other guy besides Smith and Haliburton, a sense that it would take for me to say, yes, this year the Pacers could make the postseason.
Yeah. I feel like TJ has like a huge opportunity here to be like a big leader and like do some like off the court intangible stuff, because he's kind of one of the older guys on the roster, been around on the block, could really really benefit from having him like be a good voice in the locker room.
Last year he showed that a lot. You know, I asked about this. I almost did a story on it because when he was out for 3 months with the wrist injury, he was basically a coach in practice. Like, he would hold the padding for screens and banging up with guys at the basket and stuff like that. So he already has shown that a little bit. Now that I think he is the oldest player on the team, he will have to sort of be shoehorned into a leadership role, assuming he's still on the roster on opening night, which I'm imagining at this time that he will be. You know, I think that's a good role for him and a good spot for him. Anybody beyond the guys that we've already said that you feel like, you know, if they took a jump this year, or they would need to take a jump this year for the Pacers, we're going to dream of playing a meaningful game this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I think one of the rookies would be huge. If like Benedict Mathurin just felt like being like Evan Mobley kind of rookie, that'd be huge for us. I'm really interested in Nesmith, because he, I've really never really watched him on the Celtics. I don't know if he got a ton of playing time there. So it'd be interesting if he took a step, because that would be very unexpected by me for sure.
Yeah, either of them would be – like, I usually project rookies to be bad. I said that a lot about Duarte last year, and then he wasn't. He wasn't bad, so that obviously blew up in my face a little bit. But, yeah, if Mathurin can give them a positive minutes on – especially on both ends, oh, yeah, that would give them a two-headed monster in the backcourt. That would make them very good. And Nesmith is interesting because, you know, I don't know how much he'll play. There's kind of a logjam at the spots he would be out there. I do think he will be in their rotation at least to some extent when the season opens. If he can be the shooter, it looked like he would be at Vandy, over 50% on a ton of attempts. Yeah, oh yeah, he'd be a huge swing factor for them. Or if he can be a defender, either one. He's just wing-sized. If he can either defend threes or shoot, that would be big for their swing and value. But I don't view this season as the year I think the Pacers will make the playoffs. And we haven't even really discussed the question, the thesis of today's show. But I will just ask you straight up, Jack, what year do you feel like, given the current pieces on the roster and the growth path of this team, is the most likely year for this team to return to playing a game that has playoff implications, play-in, playoffs, whatever?
So I love the Pacers, and I'm not a fan of Logic. So I'm going to say this year. I'm going to ride my fandom. I think I was looking at last year's Bleacher Report for like the win projection, and it was funny because Cleveland, they had it like 25-57, and they had Pacers at like 44-38, and then it like inversed. It was like the exact opposite. So I think it's pretty interesting. Like some young teams might just like snag the opportunity, and some other teams that have some might fall back. But this East is looking pretty loaded, so our hands will definitely be full.
Let's take one little break for a message from the NHTSA. Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? What's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? No big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is your reaction time slow way down when you're high. Not only do you put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. There's one team every year that just blows expectations out of the water. It was the Pacers 5 years ago in the Depot first season. It was the Cavs last year. It was the Kings a couple years ago with Dave Yeager. It was the Knicks 2 years ago. Like, it's always somebody who is much better than everybody thinks. I suppose it could be the Pacers this year. They do have pieces in place that are good. This year feels unlikely to me for a lot of reasons. One being that they just have a lot of young pieces who haven't played together a lot. Whereas the Cavs this year, and the Cavs are fascinating. I almost did a story on this too. You've actually unintentionally referenced two things that I almost heard about. Nice. They were 13th in the East 2 years ago, right? And the Pacers were 13th in the East last year. And they got up into almost the playoffs this past year. Obviously, the Pacers know the Cavs didn't make the playoffs, but they were right there, right? That ascent is possible in 1 year. The Cavs did it. The difference I would have in their ascent is, you know, they had Garland for a couple of years. Obviously, Moby's a new inclusion, but then they had Garland for a couple of years. They had Allen for over a year. They had Kevin Love for forever. Like, a lot of their core stuff that turned out to be pretty good for them last year was mostly stuff they've had for a while. And that's something I think is true for the Pacers as well. And like the Knicks ascent too. Randall had been there around for a few years. You know, a lot of their pieces had been there for at least a year or two. Haliburton has been with the Pacers for 6 months. You know, like those kind of things matter to me in terms of the timing. Even the Kings ascent was in Fox's second year, third year. So, and the Kings ascent didn't even end in anything impressive, but they were the surprise team that year. You know, all this to say, yeah, I see how it could be this year. They have a coach who knows how to do it. They've got a potentially very good point guard. They have decent shooters and vets. Like, they have youthful stuff that can be really aggressive and honestly play a little bit like Nate Bjorkgren wanted them to play in terms of aggression. And when I talked to Goga Batadze earlier this month, he thought they would play aggressive. I'm rambling. But all this is to say, I get how it could be this year. I get how they fit the blueprint of the teams that have exceeded that expectation. I just don't think they've been together with the core that they have long enough for that to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's pretty typical Pacer fashion. They love letting the core sit together, so a little bit of a longer path would make a lot of sense, and I think I could easily get behind that.
You know what team blows up that theory that I just said? The 2017 Pacers, who came in with a new point guard in Darren Collison and a new shooting guard in Victor Oladipo, and had Sabonis coming off the bench for the first time, and Bojan Bogdanovic was a new starter, and hey, look, it clicked perfectly, and they made the postseason. Yeah. So
maybe we should theory isn't perfect. Thad Young, and that would help us out.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he's a good kind of piece. But the other difference is, too, like the Cavs were signing not vets, but they were bringing in experienced players last year, as were the Knicks, as were the Pacers at that time, whereas this year's Pacers are not doing that. I don't think this year is my answer for the postseason. I get how it could happen. We talked about a lot of it in the opening segment here. But to me this year, even if I think they'll win more games than last year. I did a whole show on the schedule. I don't think they'll win. I think they'll win, 25-30, which is not a playoff team. But I think they have the pieces to make it next year a possibility. Like Haliburton for a full year with Duarte, that growth will be important. Whatever they get in a potential Turner or Hield deal, that will be important. Another high draft pick, a full year of growth for Mathurin. All those things converging make me think 2024 is possible. At that time, a lot of the stuff I've talked about with Haliburton and comparisons to past players with his stats suggests he could be an all-star by that point. If all those, that's a lot of stuff I just said, but if all those things are true, and none of them are unreasonable at all. Yeah, I think they could be a playoff team at that time. The East will finally have descending teams at that point. You know, the Nets should be totally different. For example, Jimmy Butler will be 36 at that time. For example, there will be a different East. Who knows what's going to happen with DeRozan and aging, and the Wizards will eventually not be in the way. You know, there's a lot of teams that, in theory, could fall back at that stage and allow the Pacers to get in there. This year, I just don't see enough of that stuff coming together. But next year, I think it's possible. And 2 years from now, maybe not expect. I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to put expectations on a young team. But 2 years from now, 2024, 25, I definitely think they would have good enough players and talent by then, whatever draft pick they have next year, plus two extra ones, Mathurin's growth by then. You know, if they're not in the playoffs by 2025, I would almost view that as a disappointment given the pieces they have now.
Oh, yeah. That would be definitely 2025 and no playoffs. What, if we're already at a decade with no playoff wins and we have to add like three more years, that'd be rough. I don't know.
That would be close to a decade. Wow, I didn't even think about that. Can I tell you a stat I just saw that blew my mind?
Yeah, let's hear it.
About playing in playoff games. Doesn't it feel like the Thunder have been tanking for forever, for a very long time?
Yeah.
They have played in a playoff game more recently than the Pacers because in the bubble season with Chris Paul, they went to seven games in the first round with Houston and the Pacers got swept. So by about 5 days, the Thunder have played in a playoff game more recently than the Pacers. And they immediately said, screw this, and traded everything, Chris Paul, everybody. And now I've won this crazy rebuild. Paul George as well was a part of that. Obviously, they had Shea. All this to say, it can change very quickly for any team. But yeah, I thought that stat was interesting and kind of reveals how time will view the league. Like if the Pacers already, it kind of feels like they haven't been in the playoffs for a while. It's only been 2 years. If it's really 2024 before their next postseason, or 2025 even, which is only two seasons from now, that doesn't sound far away. But if it really is that far away, like it's going to feel very long for fans. And I wonder how much that will impact steps along the way. But you know, I don't think that is anything beyond that. So what, you know, you talked about wings earlier. What do you feel like has to happen as a team, as young players grow, and as additions? Very vague, list them all, between now and their next playoff appearance, them to truly take that step.
I feel like Tyrese Haliburton unlocking a lot of other players' potentials would be, like, huge. Like, he has that just ability to make everyone else around him better. So if he could just keep lifting up everyone and everyone kind of rides with it and buys in, I think that would probably be like a very good course of action for us. If we want to keep it really vague, I don't know if we just get a chip on our shoulder and want to use some random sport euphemisms, go with that too.
Nobody believes in them, right?
No, no one. But we could all just be some gym rats and some just stay in the gym all day. Maybe that'll pay off.
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff that we said for this season would have to happen for me to think they have a chance this year, to me, is like not a must, but pretty close for even 2024, right? And if it's not Jalen Smith, like any power forward who can play starter level has to be playing for the Pacers for them to reach the postseason at some point, right? If that's Smith, if that's he doesn't click at the four and they sign a different four and he plays the five, that's fine, but that would be a year from now, right? Or if that's Mathurin being, like you said, if Mathurin is truly good or impactful, that would be, you know, a year or two from now. That's another one that makes sense to me. And the big one's a wing, right? Do they draft one? Do they sign one? Whatever it is, do they finally have a wing on their team to plug in minutes? Because if you have a good four, if you have a good rookie, it doesn't matter if Mathurin's an all-star, if he's just a good player, and Haliburton's as good as it seems like he will be, boom, you have a team. Duarte fits in there fine. You have other young players in the mix. And there's a chance that, like, Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson's a name that we're mentioning on this path as well. I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse here, but just vaguely speaking, I feel like those are the pieces that are needed, and they might have a lot of those internally, but that is the steps that are needed to me in general, and maybe a little bit of reinvention towards, you know, the more, not more common, I don't know how to describe this. Like they've been a too big team is kind of their identity for the last couple of years. Brogdon was oftentimes their best player, even though Sabonis was most of the time. You know, they kind of played an identity that was based on post stuff, based on handoffs, screen, stuff like that. Now with Haliburton, they'll kind of have to reinvent who they are. And if reinventing takes them to being, you know, one of the playing more like other NBA teams that have, you know, a lot of Steph Curry, John Morant, Trae Young, a lot of these teams have these dominant guards. If they play more like those teams, that is another little factor to me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Memphis was a very fun team. They just played in transition and played fast and kind of used that youth and like speed. And if that could jumpstart our defense and get guys moving, I think that would be awesome if we really got after it in transition and just kind of used our like youth and speed as like a boost. I mean, that might even make Kendall Brown like get some minutes if we're trying to be like the fastest guys out there.
Yeah, Tyrese is very good in transition. Kendall is super fast. Like that makes sense to me. And part of what made it so effective for the Grizzlies is, well, first of all, they had a ton of youth that can play that way. They played the possession number game. I think I've talked about this super dorky thing on this show several times, but like a lot of teams in the points per possession calculation. You know, that's how you win a game. You have more points per possession over all the possessions. You know, most teams try to maximize the points part of it. Like, let's make every possession as efficient as possible. The Grizzlies are like, F that. We're going to have as many possessions as possible. Ton of offensive rebounds, tons of steals, and all that kind of stuff. I think that strategy can behoove the Pacers given what they have now, right? They have good transition players that with extra added possessions in that way would make sense. They have enough, not a lot, but enough shooters that being an offensive rebounding team would have some value. The problem is they don't have good offensive rebounders. So perhaps that's another thing to add into their equation for when they next make the playoffs is they need a guy who can be an offensive rebound menace to play that style. I don't think they have to lean in on that too much, but you know, to truly be the Grizzlies, I think they need a little bit more shift towards possession basketball, which is possible given the roster that they have. I just don't know that they have all the pieces to get quite to Memphis' level.
Yeah. An identity for this team would be huge so that we know what to plug and play and where to go in the future. Because like we have like three draft picks, so we could really kind of mess around with this draft coming up here, kind of plug in what we need to. So I guess an identity would be huge. I like fast and fun basketball, so I would lean to that. But whatever gets wins, I'd be for.
Rick Carlisle seems to agree with you because – when we were talking to him I can't remember which presser this was, if this was Jalen's or the draft guys, but he said, you know, talking about this team and being athletic, he said, we're not going to be last in dunks anymore. You know, he seems to see the value in that athleticism and that above the rim play. We even mentioned Isaiah Jackson's role in this. Like if he can learn to shoot, he could be a key cog in any growth they have. So that's another part of the timeline is, you know, playing a new style, a new identity. And I think I've brought this up before I even wrote about it in a story, but I had one practice where I asked both Malcolm Brogdon and Caris LeVert, what do you think the identity of this team is? And they gave me, you know, this was a tough time for the Pacers. They were kind of losing in January when I did this. They kind of gave me washy answers that were different. And the fact they weren't exactly the same was a little telling. You know, if they were totally different, that would have been more telling. But you know, I think that's interesting that they didn't have like the Kevin Pritchard quote was hard hat, lunch pail defense team. You know, they weren't that. Neither of them said that. I think an identity would go a long way. Something else you just said, I think I want to factor into this equation. They have three first round picks next year. Great. Assets. Improving the team. Young players. That sounds awesome. Young players are not helpful towards making the playoffs, which could be a factor in thinking 2 years from now makes more sense than next year. Is that overthinking it? Is that overcomplicating it? Or do you feel like if they're good enough this year, they could use those picks in a different way than just drafting three rookies?
Yeah. I mean, if someone's looking for three first rounders for one of their stars, we'd be able to, you know, pony up, but only if it's like the right fit, I guess. I would love to see us use our pick if we're going to be kind of bad this year. So that would be good. But the other two picks I would happily part with if it's just going to be like sort of towards the back end of things. And if it, I don't know, got us someone that was going to help us in the playoffs like next season or get there, I think that would be – I'd be all in for that.
Yeah, ironically, another name he mentioned earlier, Thad Young, you know, they traded the 20th pick for him a couple years ago. Ironically, the pick that became LeVert. You know, if the Cavs pick ends up around there and the Celtics pick's even later than that, like those are the level of players you can expect as immediate contributors – for that sort of pick. If they're good enough, like if they're sniffing the play-in this year or they even reach it, I think that kind of thing would make a lot of sense to add that level of player with your first instead of using it. Because they do have, I mean, already a dozen players 25 and under on this team. It's not like they have a ton of room to add young talent to this team. Like they could fill out a whole rotation of 26 and unders if you play Nembhard over McConnell and then just give Buddy's minutes to Nesmith. Like, boom, you did it. You have a young team playing every single minute of your roster. It's hard to fit in a ton more of those guys. At some point, you have to be fitting in those better players. So on their timeline, on their quest to make the playoffs, at some point that calculus has to change. And maybe it's rushing it to say trade those picks next year. But again, they haven't made it in 2 years as is. They did play two play-in games like in the Bjorken year, which doesn't feel that long ago. You know, that was May of 2021. It's not that long ago that they were in a sort of meaningful position, but it will feel long ago, I think, pretty quickly. And that's why maybe that would change the calculus of that draft.
Yeah. And I think that this draft this year was a little bit top heavy, and they're hyping up this new draft with the French guy who I always mispronounce his name. That would be awesome to get him, but I hate just like throwing all of our chips into the lotto ball, just hoping to get number one, because I don't know, we don't always have the best luck, so I don't want to put all of our eggs in that basket.
It's also just a non-sporting way of thinking to me. Like, not why you like sports. You know, yes, ping pong balls, the lottery, let's go.
Yeah.
Someone gives you $100, Jack, and they say, okay, you have to bet on the year. You next to the Indiana Pacers play a playoff game. What are you putting it on?
Buddy Hield first basket.
Okay, fair. I think the year I would put the money on would be 20.
I misunderstood.
I get why you just said that.
My betting account or something.
Yes, you can do any Pacers bet. No, if you could do the year of the playoff bet, I think I would do 2025. I think they'd be good enough in 2024, but the East will still be kind of good. They can be in the play-in mix that year, but I think 2025, certainly I think this roster is talented enough. They'll have the right people in place to be a playoff team that year.
I'm gonna keep the $100 on this season.
Wow, that is wild.
I like the long odds. I like the.
You think like top six seed or squeaking in through the play-in this year?
Squeaking in through the play-in, but I don't know. I'm gonna say 60 wins.
Just ride 60 it wins.
60-win Pacers. Here we go.
Your $100 is gone, so that
and it's gone.
I'll be curious what other people think about this discussion. I'd be curious to ask the Pacers what they kind of feel about it, because of what Kevin O'Connor, like I mentioned at the beginning, of what Kevin O'Connor is saying about their pursuit of the play-in this year is true. I think they would expect it to be this year or next year, but a lot of the talent and the situation that they're in doesn't necessarily dictate that. What do you feel like we missed in this discussion? Anything at all?
I have a hard time thinking like Carlisle would want to lose. I think he would want to be in the playoffs now. But that's about all I got to add. I think Carlisle would want to win.
Winning coach, likes winning, has the playoff experience. I'd be curious how he would coach this team in a postseason setting, how he would adjust with Tyrese and co in that setting. And I would look forward to seeing Rick Carlisle coach his team in the playoffs for the first time in two decades. That'd be a kind of fun full circle story. Jack, last thing here. Curveball, because I didn't tell you this question was coming. Since you're on the beat now, you'll be in the rooms asking the questions. What can you tell people about yourself and your infatuation with the game of basketball?
I was always interested in basketball, but always the shortest kid. So I just like playing with heart and hustle. And I fell in love with the Reggie Miller Pacers and just haven't stopped ever since. So I think Pacers basketball is just one of the biggest things in my life. So I'm just happy to be here and just love this.
It's always fun to have new voices on the beat, and when Seth is in your seat, of course, I like chatting with him. But it'll be fun to have more people there asking questions in the pressers. You can follow Jack on Twitter at _Jack, but not spelled Jack, as you know Jack to be spelled. It is J-H-A-Q in that setting. Thank you guys a ton for listening to the show. If you would like to tell me, or Jack, on Twitter, when you think the Pacers will next make the playoffs, please do so. He's at, like I said, _Jack. I am at TEastNBA, or comment on YouTube if you're watching there where you can see our lovely faces as we go on. Next Monday, Labor Day TBD on show content. We are talking on Wednesday. The show's running Friday. So I have no idea what I'm going to be doing for that, but I'll be recording it in the next couple days, probably starting season previews for players and player positions. So stay tuned for that. Thank you guys a ton for listening. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.